You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today on The Grave Talks, haunted costume shop, daydreams, and nightmares. Daydreams and Nightmares Costume Shop in Modesto, California is much more than just another store to buy a costume for a Halloween or party. Instead, this is known as the Haunted Costume Shop, a shop frequented by regulars and celebrities alike seeking their next costume or spirit. Formerly a funeral home, the building now houses the Haunted Costume Shop. One of the more ominous warnings about the structure that was given upon purchase was that the property contains human remains on site in the form of ashes from those cremated on the property. Not only had thousands of bodies passed through the doors of the funeral home, now a haunted costume store, but thousands more mourned the dead within the walls of this building, which now houses the energy of both the living and the dead. When you think of paranormal activity, we often think of the dead coming back to life. However, many of us know that the living are also fully capable of producing unexplained phenomena as a result of these intense emotions. Often, these residual entities or occurrences are entirely unknown to those whose energy is expelled. However, energy seems to linger long after one has said their final goodbyes to a loved one in the confined space. Even if you enjoy the theater and dressing up, why would a spirit choose to haunt a costume shop? That's a question we ask ourselves as we look into this mysterious story. Even if a ghost is confused and still thinks it's a funeral home, why would they still want to haunt it? Why would a spirit feel connected to a location they spend so little to no time at in life? Could some of the costumes be the source of the ghostly activity at this haunted costume shop?
Okay, you know, I really don't know a whole lot of the history of when it was built and everything like that. It's an old building. It was an old house. And at least 25 years ago or so, somebody added the front part on and made it a business. So it's actually a business with a house connected to it. And it's an old Victorian house, which makes it kind of creepier anyways. And the first business that I know that was here was a cleaning service. And they were here for quite a while, and the family actually lived in the house part of it. And then I believe it was sold, and a funeral home picked it up, and it was a funeral home for the last, at least I know of, 19, 20 years. So that's the history. I basically know of it, not a whole lot. You know, I go back and I've tried to find the exact date of it, and it's so, some of the paperwork's so jumbled and weird, and I don't know why. It's showing the date of when they added on. It's not showing the date of when the house was actually built. So there's some like weird things with it. And when I bought the building, I think it's been 5 years ago, there was like 18 owners. So it, you know, just just for the one building, you know, and we had to get documents signed by all of these 18 owners that owned it for the funeral home. And the funeral home was just basically leasing it from these 18 owners.
When you first inquired about owning this building and making an offer on it, was there any rumblings that you had heard of or were aware of, oh, hey, this place may have some ghosts?
A lot of the law enforcement come here a lot because there's a lot of dark history with the building and the funerals that went on here. So the police department was here a lot. I do know that, dealing with people that were having services here and such, you know, so forth. I was looking to find a building because I kept having landlords that would either sell their property or, you know, I just didn't like where I was at. You know, different things came up. And I was like, you know, it's time for me to purchase. I've been in business 15 years now, and I was like, it's time to own a building. And I started looking, and this one popped up, and I was like, wow, they're only asking $350? What, you know, what is wrong with it? And then I read down a little, and it said ashes on premises. They had to disclose this. It was an old funeral home, and I'm like, perfect. It's perfect for a costume shop. And we came down here, and Ava, my friend, came down here with me and took a look, and Ava has been a docent at Preston Castle for many years, and she's into the paranormal, and she brought her tape recorder, and I was like, don't be pulling any weird ghost hunting things out when I'm trying to purchase this place. I said, I don't want the real estate agent to think I'm a freak, and she goes, who else would want to purchase an old funeral home? So we kind of laughed about it, and within the first 5 minutes of Ava being here, I was down front with the real estate agent, and Ava walked in one of the rooms, and she got some of the clearest EVPs within first 5 minutes, three of them to be exact, and it was absolutely insane.
Before even the reports of paranormal activity came about at the costume shop, there was public knowledge of some not so good incidents that occurred at the location. Could you expound upon that a little bit, the negative energy amongst the living?
There were a lot of fights, so a lot of funerals for people that were gangbangers and things like that. So a lot of fights, you know, of people that had been murdered and things like that. And a lot of high emotions, you know, a lot of high emotions in this building. So, there's just a lot of things that have really happened here, we think. And with some of the mediums that have came in here and psychics, the stuff that we've heard is just intense, and we have gotten EVPs and confirmations. And when I say EVPs and recordings that we've gotten, these are recordings that you don't need captions on. You know, you watch a lot of these ghost adventure shows and stuff like that, not ghost adventures, but, you know, different ghost hunting shows. And I'm not referring to any certain show, you know, but you watch these shows and they put captions. You don't need captions. We can play ours and people hear it. I mean, Ava's mother's 98, and she goes, that's pretty good when a 98-year-old can hear it. So it's pretty intense and loud and just straight to the point. And we don't keep things that, you know, don't make sense. Like, oh, my God, they said a name. Whose name is this? You know, we keep things. They say our names. They say the name of the building. You know, they say specific things about here. We had a paranormal group come in last week, and one of the ladies said, can you move the ribbons? And it immediately said, ribbons, you know? I mean, it's direct responses that we keep. So it's pretty intense.
Did you have any reservations about purchasing the building, knowing what you knew now about the history of the building?
Well, when I first came down here, immediately I walked in, and even the real estate agent, it was not what I thought it was going to be. I walked in, and I was like, oh, my God. It was just so heavy in here, and the feeling, I was like, okay, maybe I don't want this, you know? And like I said, Avid walked in the back, and the previous tenants had stripped the place. I mean, every light was gone, so there was no lights. There was no doors. There was, you know, even the trim around the doors. So many things were stripped and taken that it was just absolutely insane. I'm like, oh, my God, this is a lot of work, you know? And so I was talking to my real estate agent, and I said, I'm not paying full price for this. And he goes, I don't expect you to. And he goes, clearly the owners didn't realize how this was left. And so we negotiated, and I got it for a steal. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to beat this price. any ways at all. And when I was purchasing it, when I was in escrow, I went to Alaska. My niece was getting married, and Ava would come down here and sit here by herself in here. And I kept saying, I don't know how you can sit in there by yourself. I'm so freaked out about it. I said, it's just so strong in there. And I'm really nervous about doing this. And I kept telling her, I said, I don't know how I'm going to run this store by myself in here. I'm scared. Ava's on the phone with us as well, too. And she would sit in here when, you know, it was dark, and just by herself with her tape recorder. And I'm like, you're absolutely insane. And she goes, I do this at Preston Castle. You know, why wouldn't I do it here? And I said, because it's strong here. And even Ava will tell you, there's so much activity here, it's not even funny. And Ava doesn't like to come down here anymore by herself, because it just feels like it's getting stronger and stronger here. And the things that happen are just absolutely insane. So, yeah, there's some reservations, absolutely. And there still are every once in a while.
What were some of the first things that happened for you personally that really solidified in your mind, yeah, I think we got a haunted building here?
Okay, well, the very first thing that happened to me was my grandma, after we got back from Alaska, my grandmother, she was 96, and she's not your typical 96 woman. She was riding quads with me in Alaska, if that tells you anything. And we got back, and, you know, she looked at me, and she goes, you know, Dana, I'm tired. And I said, Grandma, I'm tired, too. And she goes, no, you don't understand. I'm tired. And I was like, No, I'm not ready for this. She goes, well, you need to figure, you know, you need to realize it's going to happen. I'm 96 and I'm ready to go. She said, I miss my husband. And I said, well, I miss him too, but, you know, I don't want you to leave and you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. And she goes, well, I'm just telling you, you need to be ready because it's going to happen. It was like 3 days later, she was having trouble breathing and went to the hospital. And they sent her home, said she had pneumonia. And the next day she went back and he goes, you know, I think it's time for hospice. And I'm like, this is insane. She's in perfect health. And so they sent her over to hospice. And, I mean, she was in there. I brought her Kentucky Fried Chicken, everything she was wanting. I was just bringing her, you know. And I'd been down there. We'd been there a few days. And they were, like, ready to kick her out because they were like, she's not on her deathbed, you know. And she didn't want any meds or anything. And I told my mom, I said, look, I got to go down to the shop because I'd just been to Alaska. I needed to do some bills. And I said, I need to go down the shop. And it was at night, and I thought, you know, Grandma's asleep. And I said, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to do these bills. He said, I'm so scared, but I got to get this done. So I came down here, and I'm sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden I felt like I wasn't alone. And my first thought, of course, went to my grandmother. And I thought, oh, God, she passed, and I wasn't there with her because I promised her I'd be with her, you know. And it was just, the feeling was just so strong that I got up from my desk, and I took a picture. And the first picture, you know, I'm looking at, and I don't see anything. And I took one more. And when I took the second picture, you can clearly see, like, a light kind of above the doorway. And I didn't have any lights on in that room. And I was like, what the heck is this? And I enlarge it. And as I enlarge it, you can see a man standing in the doorway. Now, my car was parked out through that doorway in the front. And I was like, oh, I'm not going through this. Forget the bills. They can be late. And I went out the back door, and I texted Ava. I said, oh, hell no. I don't know if I can be in that place. I said, I just saw a man. And she's like, what? And I sent her the pictures, and she's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. I said, yeah, oh, my God. I said, how am I ever going to be there by myself? I said, that was so scary. So for a while, it took me, you know, really turning every light on. And it doesn't matter, day, night, lights, they're here regardless. And I'm just to the point now where it's like, okay, yeah, things happen. It's going to happen. They haven't hurt us, so that's the key. It doesn't feel like anything evil here. I think there's a dominating spirit, but I don't think he's evil. Like I said, we don't have anything bad happen, just mischievous things. We've had things thrown at customers, you know. People feel it when they walk in. I've had some people walk in and turn around and walk back out because it's so strong. But there's one room here in the back that the customers don't go to unless they get makeup done. And that room, it's so strong in there. And when I have cameras in the rooms, and the motion will come on and say motion, and I have it titled a scary room. So that tells you, you know, how I feel about that room. I don't even like to go in there because everybody feels like they say it's like a vortex where they feel very off in there. And people get very different feelings. They get very emotional. They get very sad. They feel like there's a weight on their shoulders. And there's something very odd about it. There's blinds on this in this room. And when you open the blinds, it's a concrete wall. The whole room is soundproof. So it's very intense in that room.
Do you have any knowledge as to what the room was used for in the past that you feel the intense energy inside of?
I know it was one of the gentleman's offices when he lived here, or when he ran the funeral home. I know it was his office because I had somebody that worked for him come in and said, oh, that was so-and-so's office. And what we don't understand is it's nowhere near where the embalming room was, because we had full embalming room here, crematorium, and there was blood in that room, and we could not get the blood off the floor. Me, Ava, and our friend Kat tried, and this blood was not coming off. And I poured several chemicals, and we had been in there cleaning and painting, and all of a sudden, the blood started bubbling up, and we started cleaning it, and all three of us started crying at the same time, and we have no idea why. It was the weirdest thing. Total emotion. And we have people go in there and do start crying for no reason. And, I'd look at people and go, oh, my God, you're too sensitive. What the heck? But feeling it myself, I know what they felt. I know what they feel. So I don't look at them like they're crazy anymore, because a lot of people do think, oh, you're crazy. That doesn't happen. And, we've had customers come in. One kid came from a school, and he said, oh, I don't believe in ghosts, and I heard this place was haunted. And I said, you know what? We're not here to convince you anything. I said, stay around long enough, something will happen. And me and his mother were talking, and a hat flew off, a Horton Hears a Who hat, flew off and hit him, and he took off running out the front door. And I told his mom, I said, oh, my God, I hope he brings my costume back. And she goes, I hope he stops running. So, you're only a non-believer till something happens. That's our main thing. And, come around here for a little bit, something will happen, I guarantee it.
What is your take on what is going on there? Is it multiple entities that are conscious that are still wandering the halls of what they may think is a funeral home, or maybe well aware that it is a costume shop? Is it just residual energy from all of the very intense emotional experiences of someone giving their final goodbyes to a loved one in the funeral home? What is your take on all of it?
I think it's a little bit of both, and Ava just looked at me and said both. We both feel the same way. The highest number we've ever gotten, because we asked many times, how many spirits are here? The highest number we've ever gotten is 92. And, normally there's a group that comes in here a lot and they test equipment, and Chill Seekers, Carissa and Keith, and they always get the number 38 or 37. That's been the number. And we have a recording, and my niece, or Ava, asked how many spirits are here, and you hear a voice say massive. And my niece said, massive? Can you be more specific? Like, can you give us a number? And it said 92. And you can just feel how many are in here. Why they're all here, I don't know. Maybe some were people that passed that didn't finish their business. I think some are upset. We have I don't know if you've heard the phone call that we have here. I came into work one day, and I go to the answer machine. First thing is what I do, check the messages to see what customers need. And immediately, I push the button, and the first phone call, I write down the message. The next one comes on, and it sounded really weird. And I was like, what the heck is this? And I listened a little bit, and I'm like, oh, somebody pocket dialed me. Well, I got ready to erase it, and I had my finger on the erase button. And all of a sudden, I hear a woman's voice say, I'm fine except for the bright light that keeps chasing me. And I stopped, and I was like, what the heck is that? I said, okay, that's not a pocket dial. And then I was like, okay, somebody's screwing around with me. So I stopped the call, went back to caller ID, and there's no call log for this phone call that came in. And it's not a quick phone call. It's a lot of people talking. There's happy, there's sad, there's so many emotions going on, and it's absolutely insane the stuff that is coming out of there. And I had asked, Chris and Keith were coming down here to do some kind of podcast, and I asked them, I said, hey, will you guys take a listen to this answer machine? And I had played just a little small part that I recorded from my cell phone to Keith, and he goes, oh, that's weird. Well, when they got here and listened to it, they said it was the scariest thing they ever heard. They did a video on it, and it's called Phone Call from the Dead from Chill Seekers. And it's absolutely intense. It was the scariest thing. And, you know, I had a hard time coming in after that. I was like, I don't want any more messages on my machine. And it's just, it's very long. And I still have it on my machine today because Chill Seekers weren't able to get everything that's being said. And someday I'm going to find somebody who's really technically advanced that can get that off there, because Ava and I, we're not good with stuff, with electronics. We're lucky to get our tape recorders working, but we get some of the clearest EVPs, which is hilarious because we're just using basic little apps and tape recorders. And we've got so many, I've got surveillance footage, and the guy from my camera system, he had to come in here and do a video showing us how to get it off of there so we could post it on Facebook, because we're that technically challenged.
Tell me about what was captured on video.
We've got tons. The first one that freaked us out was you can see an orb, and we're not talking these little orbs that people see in pictures. It's a figure of a person, but it's long and white, and it comes out of my front door and then goes across the street. So we have it coming out of the building and across the street, and we get tons of these all the time. And somebody had said, oh, that could just be the camera malfunctioned when somebody was walking out front. So I sat here and watched the cameras for a while, waiting for someone to go by at night so I could see what they look like on the camera. And it was so funny because I saw these people walking across the street real late at night. So I started recording them so I could show what people look like on the camera. And as I was recording, one of those orb spirits started running past the people and ran right into my building. And I kind of made a joke about it and said, oh, they don't even want to deal with the people out on the street late at night. They're like us. They just want to run in and hide. So we've caught that. We have them coming down in the makeup room. And what's funny is they walk in a section where the viewing was for the services. So we get a lot of them walking right in that section where the caskets were.
With that, would you say that it would be energy replaying itself because emotions are so high at a funeral, and that it's not really a conscious being there, but more so just the energy replaying itself?
You know, I think the ones that are walking by the casket, that might be the energy reoccurring, but the ones that are going outside and stuff, I don't think that's reoccurring. So Ava wants to say something real quick.
We talked about that walking in and out. When you asked him to walk in.
Oh, yes. Me and Ava were sitting here when she wanted me to tell you about this. We were sitting here one day, and we were getting ready to leave, and we look at the camera, and I said, oh, my God, Ava, look, there's one leaving the building right now. And we're watching it, and I said, oh, don't leave. And it stops and turns around and came back in. And I was like, okay, time to go. And he was like, that's so cool. So we actually have video footage of these things. And there's another one that was very odd, too. There was a car parked out front. It was late at night, and this car started reversing, and the orb was walking towards the car. And like I said, in this orb, you can see almost hand movements, a stride of somebody walking. That's a better word to use. You can see the stride of it walking. And then as the car started to back up, it stopped. And I always laugh at those memes you see of, how come the ghosts that everybody see are Victorian and, you know, from back in the day, and they're not modern ones. And I laughed and I said, well, clearly this one's not old, because he knew what backup lights were because he stopped for the car to back up. So yeah, there's just so many, and I don't know if they're the same. I don't know if it's reoccurring. I'm just, you know, I can only give you my thoughts.
Being a funeral home, or being formerly a funeral home, it's not a building that many of us would be frequenting, hopefully. Unless, of course, you were an employee there, or you had a lot of loved ones who were passing in succession. That being said, why do you think these entities are there? And who do you think they are frequenting this location that for... the most part, would not have necessarily been a common place traveled in life.
Well, I know Ava, one of her first EVPs, she asked, why are you here? And you hear a lady say, I burned here. And it's clear as can be. So why she would still stick around, I personally wouldn't want to stick around after, you know, I was deceased, after I was burned somewhere. I wouldn't want to be in that place. But I don't know. I don't have the answer, I should say. I would like to know. There's just been a lot of things that go on here. And like I said, we've had psychics come in, and we've had more than one claim that there was some human trafficking going on here. By who, I'm not sure. But we get a name of a girl that was locked in the closet in that room that we were talking about, that soundproof room. And her name is Angie. And she has stated in there that, you know, she was trapped in there and died in there. Now, who owned the place at that time? I don't know. I don't know if it's energy from way back. We have no idea. You know, there's no way to know. But we constantly hear boots walking down this hallway in heavy boots, like military boots, like solid boots. And one of the groups in here, they call him Boot Man. They're like, oh, here comes Boot Man, because you can hear the boots walking. And that's the skeleton crew. They've named him Boot Man. And they've been here many times, and they also test equipment in here because it's so amazing the responses you get. And all these groups I'm mentioning too, they do have Facebook pages, and you can watch videos and stuff and see the things that go on in this building, and here with audio as well. It's intense. Any group that comes in here, guarantee they leave with evidence. We haven't had one. We've had Bridget from the Playboy Mansion, from the TV show Girls Next Door. She came in here with her mother and her brother, and were absolutely blown away because she said, we have the, I'm bad with the technical name, we have a box in here from Steve Huff that he made. I think it's a portal. And we use the app SCD1, and we played it through there, and Bridget asked, she goes, you know, I want to ask about my grandfather. He had passed away in July, and she goes, I want to see if he's still around me. And I said, well, go ahead and ask. Now, Ava and I put our tape recorders in slow motion, so when anything comes through, it's in real time, we know it's not us. And Ava had it playing, and Bridget asked, is my grandpa Elmer here, or still here? And you hear an elderly man say, still here. And she started crying, and so did her mother. And just, they were like, that's his voice. That's his voice. So it was very comforting. And, you know, I like to see when things like that happen, because it just kind of gives us a peace, you know, the peaceful feeling that your loved ones are still around. So that was pretty amazing. And, you know, with me being as close as I was to my grandmother, I kept getting upset because I wasn't getting any sign from her. And she had always stated that she would pull my toes when I was asleep to give me a sign, and I kept telling her, don't touch my toes. I don't want you to touch my toes. That will freak me out. And I actually did get a sign not too long ago, and we had found salt in my costume room. Well, we don't allow any food or drinks back there at all, because I've got, you know, expensive costumes. We don't have, like, bad costumes. We have theatrical costumes. And I said, who moved the salt to the costume room? And you hear a man say, your grandmother did. And I just looked at Ava, and then you hear my grandmother's voice, and she goes, honey. And I started crying. And then at the end, a word was said that nobody else would understand but me and Grandma. And you hear someone say, Dana Dare. Now, there was a joke. There was a guy in North Carolina that would call me all the time, and he'd say, Dana Dare. And that was something that only me and Grandma would have known. So it was really good confirmation that my grandmother's still around. And just reached out to say hello, which was very cool. So,
what I've been hearing quite a bit of lately is people capturing the entities almost interacting amongst themselves. Conversations, references to the living amongst the dead. Have you had anything like that occur at the store?
Yeah. Ava recalled something. Go ahead, Ava. Tell them what you said.
You can say it.
I'm not remembering that.
I was here by myself, and the recorder was on. It was just EVPs. And I asked if there was anybody around, go ahead and talk, and I was going to continue doing what I was doing. And the guy says, watching this little girl. And in that same night, we got a little girl saying hide and seek.
Yeah. There's so many. I know that sounds horrible that I forgot about something, but I mean, we've been here almost 5 years. There's so many things that happen, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I'm like, well, who, remember when this happened? Who was here with us, you know? So there's so many things that have happened that you just, you kind of forget, you know, the things that have happened. I mean, constant moving of hangers in the rack, you know, in the costume room. We've got a military jacket that I think somebody is connected to, and whether that was their jacket or not. And, you know, I get a lot of military and costumes from people that, you know, their loved ones had passed, and they're like, well, we didn't want to throw it out because it's a nice costume, and we thought you could use it, you know. So, I mean, I've got some, you know, military ones, jackets here that have been to Iraq, you know, Desert Storm, World War II, you know. So the history that comes along with those items, God knows how many are here from those, too.
Do you think that because there are other entities there, because there's so many seemingly inviting objects, forces, settings, like you'd mentioned with the costumes, that it just becomes an open door for the paranormal, for things on the other side, for people on the other side to essentially conjugate in this area, because it's almost like a good restaurant for the living. Oh, it's a good place. There's lots of people there. I'm going to go there. Do you think that that might almost be what it's like for the other side? It's almost a beacon for energies over there to come in and spend time at your building.
You know, I think it can, and I'll tell you why. I've got other objects. I'm one of those people that I like to find, you know, unique things. So the building, when you come into the back section, what we call like the living the parlor part of it, I have Victorian couches, the red ones and stuff like that, and I have a lot of stuff from a funeral home that was down the street. I had seen on the news that this funeral home that was down the street had gotten in trouble, and they had 17 bodies that were decomposing in the place. And the police had went down there and raided it, taken the bodies, and had them cremated. And what happened is the gentleman had ran out of money and didn't have money to follow through on the services. And they had two hearses down there. And I was like, oh, my God, I would love hearses for my shop. That would be so cool. So I ended up getting a hold of not the owner but the owner's family, and I bought the hearses from them. I bought all kinds of things from them. And, I, you know, I've got a lot of objects that were in there. And so some of the spirits might be from that, because if that was me that was down there decomposing and my family didn't get my remains like they were supposed to, I'd be pissed off. So, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of the stuff does come, you know, and they come out and go, oh, my God, we're very accepting here, you know, and we say that, you know, you're all welcome here. We're not going to try to make you leave. Just you don't harm us. We show respect to one another. And we make sure, you know, that we always say we come with you, come at you with respect and love, and expect it in return. And so I think because they know we're so open, and with the ashes that were here, some of the ashes that were on the premises was when they moved the crematorium out, the box itself where they incinerated people, ashes fall out. You know, you're not going to know who they're from. Well, what I did is when I was back there, I was here by myself. Ava wasn't here during that. And I was back there sweeping, and I had a mask on, and I was like, you know, I can't just shop vac these. I've got to put them in a bag, and we have to do something because this is somebody's family member. So we're very respectful, and, you know, we called a friend who's Native American, and he did a ceremony and got rid of the ashes for us. And when I was back there doing that, I was sweeping. Well, I sneezed, and like I said, I had a mask on and everything, and I sneezed, and I heard somebody out loud say, bless you, and I was like, oh, hell no. And I put my broom down, I put the dustpan down and the bag down, and I came out and I walked around the building and made sure nobody was out there around, and it's a solid brick building, so you're not going to hear anybody outside anyways. And I looked around, and I'm like, oh, God, there's nobody around. And I called Ava, and I said, oh, my God, somebody just said bless you when I sneezed. And she said, well, it could have been worse. It could have said F you. And I was like, okay, good point. So I walked back in there, and I was like, oh, thank you. Oh, you know, just please don't talk to me. You know, not when I'm alone. You can talk when other people are here so I don't feel like I'm losing my mind. But, you know, it's creepy when you're here by yourself and you do that. I've never stayed the night in here, and everybody's like, have you ever stayed here? And I'm like, no, I don't see myself doing that. So, not especially after, like I said, the thing that scared me the most was that figure in the door. And I just know I'd wake up and he'd be standing right next to me, and I would have a heart attack. And then there's another death you have to deal with in the building.
A lot of this sounds like it's fairly not negative. I don't not want to say necessarily positive, but benign for the most part. Is there anything in there that you would say I want to avoid, I don't go by, that is on the realm of negative, or possibly just what might have been an angry human spirit that still resides there?
I have one guy that comes in here a lot, and he's a psychic, and he's extremely good. I mean, he's proved himself many times. And he says that there is a gentleman who's very dark who likes to control the others. And that's all we get, and is that. But like I said, as far as anything bad going on here, no. We think he's a person who's just very controlling and tries to control others in here. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, his controlling. So that's about it. I haven't found anything else, because I'll tell you what, I'd be saging and getting blessings and everything else down here. I do have prayer sticks throughout the building, even in where the crematorium was, in the slots in the ground. We have prayer sticks in there. Like I said, I had some friends who are Native American come through, and they blessed the place and stuff like that, just because we don't want negative in here.
Do you find that there's anything that you do that seems to stir them up or bring them out? Not necessarily trying to anger them or entice them to come out in any sort of negative way, but just everyday actions. Is there anything that seems to really make themselves known?
Yeah, when we listen to the phone call from the dead, that one they call, you know, I'm going to refer to it as that, the answer machine. When we play that for other people, the energy in here changes, and it feels heavy. And everybody always says, I feel like we weren't supposed to hear that. So that is one thing I know. As we're leaving, when we go to leave, and as soon as we lock the front door, the energy changes. That's why we tell the investigators that want to come in, they're like, oh, can we come at midnight? I'm like, that's not the most active time. As soon as we lock that front door, they're like, it's our time. It's time to play. And I said, that's when you want to start. So we have investigators coming here at 6 o'clock, because that's the best time. As soon as we lock the door, they're like, okay, business is done. It's our time. It's our building. Get out, you know? So in the military jacket, that we have one specific that every time a customer would put on to rent, they start crying and felt sad. We had to pull that out of our rental thing and our rental group of costumes. I can't even think right now. Sorry. And we got a recording stating that the gentleman said, please don't rent my jacket. So we don't. We have it hanging up in honor of him.
Obviously, this building has been around for quite some time, has seen many souls come and go through its doors. You are the current caretaker of this facility. What is your hope for the future of the costume shop, but more so even just the building in general?
Well, my hope is that we, obviously, with anybody, to find peace. And if their peace is being here and they enjoy this, then that's fine. But that's why we don't ask any of them to leave. We let them do what they want, because isn't that what we're all wanting in life and death, I would think, is to be able to do what we want. So I'm not going to ask them to leave if they're positive people, positive spirits, whatever. And my hope is that they get to do what they want in their afterlife. So just like I hope I get to do what I want when I retire. I don't know if my kids are going to take over the shop. Two of them have shown interest. The oldest one has not. So I don't know what's going to happen. I know if I do ever sell it, I'm going to make sure it goes to somebody who's like-minded and that will keep a positive, you know, reinforcement of what goes on here, because I do want it to stay the same, where they're okay here. This is their place. And I don't want people freaked out because it's not something to be scared about. They're very loving. I mean, we have customers walk in. We had a lady come in Saturday, and she's like, oh, what is this stuff? Tell me about it. And she asked, can I ask, you know, your box something? And we let her, and she asked about her husband. And she got a response saying, miss you. You know, I like that. I think that's awesome. Now she's going to go away with an experience knowing her loved one is still around her. So whoever buys it when I'm ready to sell or takes it over, which my kids, my youngest one, this stuff scares her a bit. But my son, he's just like, whatever. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I just hope it's somebody that will have the same like mind and treat them, the spirits, with respect. Because if we had somebody in here, like demanding them, you know, to perform per se, we would ask them to leave, because that's not how we do things here. We do things with love and respect.
To find out more about Daydreams and Nightmares Costume Shop, you can visit our website and find the link. Our website, thegravetalks.com. On the episode page for this episode, you will find the link to their Facebook page. Thank you for talking with us today and sharing your stories of Daydreams and Nightmares Costume Shop. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you enjoy our show, please press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on. We greatly appreciate that and could not do the show without your support. Let your friends know about us as well and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're able to. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.